dramas of the court. We present the dramatic story of our court, where daily the unbiased administration of justice is dealt to rich and poor alike. These dramatizations in fictionized form are typical of the human interest dramas that daily crowd our courts. Tonight, the Cleveland case.
Gentlemen of the jury, the administration of good government is based upon a sound judicial system. On considering the case before you, weigh carefully all the evidence and be convinced beyond all reasonable doubt of the guilt or innocence of the accused before delivering your verdict.
Crown versus Frieda Cleveland.
The nightmare which involved Frieda, my wife, and myself in what the newspapers were pleased to call the Cleveland case began on the night of August the 14th. We'd gone to the Capricorn Club to dance. Neither of us was feeling like it. Just before we left home, we'd had a stupid quarrel over nothing.
Is that the second or the third bottle?
It's the first.
Oh. How easily your arithmetic is affected.
Look here, Frieda, if you want to be unpleasant...
Must you shout? People are looking.
You'll be better off on your own for a while. Excuse me.
I went to the cocktail bar. I stayed away 15 minutes. Frieda and I, for the last 3 months, couldn't hit it off. I didn't know what was the matter. Then I thought I'd give it another chance. I'd go back and apologize. The table was empty when I returned. Frieda was dancing with a total stranger. To me, though apparently not to her. A short, dapper, black-haired fellow, obviously foreign.
I am at the Wentworth apartment, Frieda. Why not renew a mutually enjoyable acquaintance?
I'm married now, Tony.
Is that the lucky man at the table? Is the one with the frown?
Yes.
Really? Then come closer, my dear. Let us give him something to frown about.
Come and meet Gilbert.
It's such a pleasure.
Oh, you're back, Gilbert. Tony, this is Gilbert. Gilbert, this is Tony. Wasn't it lucky? Meeting him, I mean, saved the evening from becoming boring.
How do you do, Mr. Cleveland? I hope you are enjoying yourself.
Tony owns this place. It's marvelous, Tony. You have come on since...
See?
Since we last met.
Your cloak, Frieda.
Ah, but surely you are not leaving.
I find the orchestra loud, the wine lukewarm, and the company offensive. Come on, Frieda.
Frieda,
I'll have to go.
Come and see me soon.
I'll try. Good night, Tony.
Hasta la vista.
You were rude, overbearing, and abominable.
Because I objected to that obvious Latin laugh pawing over you. You've met him before?
Yes.
Where?
Before I met you.
I didn't imagine from your conduct towards him that it could have been afterwards.
That's the rotten sort of thing I'd expect from you. Stop the car.
What do you think you're doing?
I'll walk.
I stopped the car and Frieda stamped off along the dim street with its film of rain, holding the skirt of her white evening frock from the pavement, her dark fur cloak swinging in annoyance. Yes. That's how it all began. I went to bed. Confound her, why should I wait up? I couldn't sleep. This was the most serious row we'd ever had, with the least reason. Obviously, she hadn't her key. I let her ring several times, and I put on a dressing gown and went to the door.
Mr. Cleveland?
Yes?
We talked to you for a few minutes, sir. It's rather urgent.
What?
It's a police matter.
A police? It's not my wife, is it?
We'd better come in, sir. Is Mrs. Cleveland in?
No.
I see. Do you know where she is?
No, I don't. Look here, who are you?
Detective Inspector Hanlon, sir. Do you know anyone called Tony Costa?
Tony, at the Capricorn Club?
Yes.
I met him for the first time tonight.
Why? No, Sergeant Murray will answer it, sir.
I lost my bag. I think I left it at the club. I had to ring. Who are these people?
You lost your bag, Mrs. Cleveland. Is this it?
Why, yes. Where did you get it?
It was found in Tony Costa's apartment.
Tony? Why, how could it get there?
We thought you could explain that.
These men are police officers, Frieda. Why should my wife explain anything, Inspector?
Because, Mr. Costa has been murdered.
So, the nightmare began. And I was present at that ghastly operation they call a lineup. Frieda in that whitewashed room with a dozen other women all in evening dress, standing under the glaring lights.
All right, bring in the lift man, Constable.
Yes, sir.
Lift man, Inspector?
A question of identification, Mr. Cleveland.
Good heavens, you don't think my wife did it, do you?
Please be quiet, Mr. Cleveland.
The lift man, still in uniform, went slowly along the line. Slowly. This was agony. Until he came to Frieda.
It was this one. This is the woman.
And so, gentlemen of the jury, the Crown will show that the accused knew the murdered man, Tony Costa, quite intimately. It will show that her evening bag was found in his apartment by the police. That a woman answering to her description was seen by the lift man at the apartment house at the time which medical evidence suggests was the hour that the fatal blow was struck with a bronze statuette of the Venus de Milo. The Crown will show that the accused woman there in the dock is guilty of the sordid and horrible crime of murder.
So the prosecution fitted the horrible chain together. Fitted it around Frieda, who sat behind a spiked railing in the courtroom. Sunlight struggled through the high windows, down dimly on the wigs and black robes, and on the little Chinese who gave evidence.
Your name is Wong Si Lee. You a manservant of the deceased?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Tell the court what happened that night.
Mr. Tony came from club. He say, Wong, I expecting visitor. Don't disturb me. That is what Mr. Tony say. I know then it is a lady he's expecting later.
Did the lady arrive, Wong?
Yes. I hear Mr. Tony let her in. And I hear him say, Madre Dolorosa, this is a surprise. Come in.
You didn't see her, but you heard something else later on.
Yes, I hear lady's voice, loud sound. She seemed very angry. I do not listen. Once when Wong listened, Mr. Tony kicked Wong hard in backside.
Yes. Would you say there was a quarrel going on?
Plenty quarrel. Then all silent. I hear door close, very loud. I wait to hear master come to bed, but no sound. Wong investigation find Mr. Tony dead.
Thomas Craig, you were the lift man on duty that night at the apartment?
Yes, I was. Came on at 8 o'clock.
What happened at 1 o'clock?
I was on the ground floor. Someone rang for an affair. I was having a fag, so I thought maybe they could wait a minute. Then I took the lift up. As I was doing it, the bell rings again. Impatient, some people is, sir, real impatient. Then I stops the lift. No one there. I steps out and I sees a woman in a white evening dress and a fur coat with a hood over her head going down the stairs. She sort of turned. It was that woman there, sir.
They let me see Frieda after each adjournment, below the court in a bare room, a wire screen between us. I looked at her, trying not to remember the evidence I'd heard against her.
Gilbert.
Frieda, it wasn't you, was it? You weren't in his apartment.
No, Gilbert. You don't think I did it.
No.
You do. I can see from your face. Oh, my God.
Court resumed. You say you wandered the streets when you left your husband in the car, Mrs. Cleveland.
Yes, I walked.
You walked? You walked where?
Anywhere. I don't remember.
You walked to the Department of the Deceased?
No.
But you said you couldn't remember where you walked.
I didn't go there.
Mrs. Cleveland, do you love your husband?
Yes.
Did you love Tony Costa?
No.
Did you ever love him?
I love... No, no.
Did he love you?
I don't know.
Did he ever in the past make love to you?
Yes, he did. But it was several years ago. There was no harm in it. It was before I met Gilbert, before I met my husband.
Yes, it was in France, wasn't it? You spent a weekend at Monte Carlo.
Yes.
And when you met again at the nightclub, he wanted to renew the affection.
I don't know.
I put it to you that he did. That he invited you to his apartment, didn't he?
I can't remember. He might have done.
And when you went there...
I didn't go.
He tried to make love to you again.
No, no.
You were afraid he'd come between you and your husband, so you seized that bloodstained figure there on the table, and you beat him up.
I didn't.
While we waited for the jury, I didn't go down to see her. I knew she'd want me to, but I couldn't. A weekend at Monte Carlo. That had hit me. With a fellow like Costa. I didn't bear thinking about it.
The prisoner will rise and face the jury. Gentlemen of the jury, how do you find the prisoner on the charge of murder? Guilty or not guilty?
We find the prisoner guilty.
Guilty? I looked at Frieda standing there in the dock. Then she looked out over the court, her eyes agonized.
Gilbert!
The prisoner's murdered!
I fought my way to her. My heart seemed to burst within me. She was my wife and I loved her. I couldn't believe her guilty. I couldn't!
Part two of the story of Frieda Cleveland begins in just a moment. Meanwhile, your announcer. And now we resume the Cleveland case. Frieda was lodged in Brixton Prison. For a whole week since she was sentenced, she'd been there. And only now can I go to her.
In here, Mr. Cleveland.
Frieda.
Gilbert. Oh, my dear.
They wouldn't let me see you.
I thought after the trial...
I love you, Frieda. I was mesmerized by what I heard in the courtroom. That vengeful prosecutor.
We've so little time. Don't let's waste it talking about what happened.
But we must. Don't you see? You didn't kill Costa. Someone else did. Some other woman was there that night, Frieda. You've got to tell me all you know about him. Everything.
The police department is quite ready to give you any information on the case that you want, Mr. Cleveland.
Nothing in this apartment has been touched.
Only Costa's solicitors have been here and Wong.
Did you inquire into Costa's past life, Inspector?
We did. That's how we found out about your wife and him.
As a man of his reputation, there would be many women.
There were. Drawers of his desk are full of photographs. Look at these. All inscribed. Darling Tony from Lee. Ever yours, Gloria.
You've checked on these women?
On all who were present interest.
I see.
Who's this one? There's no inscription.
On the back of the print.
Oh. Virginia McCauley.
They're all as beautiful as she is.
Any one of these women could have been in his flat that night.
Mr. Cleveland, the jury found your wife guilty of the crime.
I don't think she did it.
But I can't tell you anymore, Gil. I can't.
Was Costa married?
I don't know. Oh, I've been thinking and thinking.
Now, darling, think again about that night. Your evening bag. You did leave it at the club.
I can't remember, Gil. I must have.
If so, Costa would have found it and taken it to his apartment. Now think, Frieda. Did you use the bag after we left? Your compact lipstick.
It weren't in the club very long. I had no occasion to use my lipstick. Gil, I didn't take lipstick with me. I remember. I left it at home.
Well, lipstick was in the bag. I examined it at Scotland Yard today.
It couldn't be mine, Gil.
You sure? It was dark red. I remember the name. Charmaine Cherry.
Well, I'd never use that colour. Not at night with a white frock. I'm too fair.
They said in court the lipstick was found on his desk. They assumed it belonged to you, Frieda. Now, what sort of a woman would wear that colour, dressed as you were dressed?
Someone dark.
A brunette?
I think so.
This may be what we're looking for.
I found myself in the Strand. As I walked, I looked at every woman's lips. Red, orange, scarlet. Perhaps among them were the lips of the woman who'd been that night in Costa's apartment. One of the many thousands who used Charmaine Cherry.
Hey, look out, Costa.
Huh?
What do you want to bet? Want to knock a man off his ladder?
I looked up at the bill poster and skirted his ladder. On the hoarding was an advertisement. Virginia McCauley uses Charmaine Wild Cherry Lipstick. Virginia McCauley. Where had I heard that name before?
There are many women. The drawers of his desk are full of photographs.
Virginia McCauley. Her photograph was amongst those in Tony Costa's desk. I looked up at the billboard. Virginia McCauley appearing now at the Avonbury Theatre.
This gentleman wants to see you, Miss McCauley.
Oh?
Good evening. I watched your performance tonight. You're a very fine actress, Miss McCauley.
Thank you, Mr...
In appreciation, would you accept a present from me?
A present? Oh, it's very kind of you.
I understand you do use this lipstick. It's your shade, isn't it?
Thank you. The cosmetic company supplies all I require, Mr...
Cleveland. Gilbert Cleveland.
Well, Mr. Cleveland, would you excuse me? My car's waiting.
Is Miss McCauley in the theatre?
Sorry, sir. Miss McCauley's off. I believe she's had a nervous breakdown and came suddenly. She's taken a rest cruise on a liner.
Gilbert. Oh, I thought I'd never see you again.
Frieda.
Each.
I leave tonight.
Oh, Gilbert, please don't. In 10 days, you know what they'll do in 10 days. Hang by the neck until you are dead, the judge said.
Frieda.
Oh, don't leave me. For God's sake, don't leave me.
I've got to. There's just a chance, the slenderest chance, Frieda, my darling, that I may have found the woman. I saw her 2 days ago, and tonight she leaves unexpectedly for Cairo.
If you shouldn't be here when...
I'll be here. I'll bring back proof. I must.
This is your table, sir.
I'd bribed the steward to sit me at the table with her. Her eyes were intent on the menu as I sat down.
Miss McCauley, Mr. Cleveland.
Yet her nerves were under complete control.
Mr. Cleveland?
Yes. We've met before, Miss McCauley.
Have we?
Yes. How charming you look. You wear white often.
Steward, it's very noisy in here. I'll have dinner in my cabin.
If she was the woman, then she was aware I knew it. The newspapers had published Frieda's trial widely. Then I would keep after her, make her speak. I had to. There were only 8 days to go. I sent a photograph of Tony Costa in an envelope to her cabin. She made no sign. The next day I bribed a steward to put something else in her cabin. A bronze statuette. Again, nothing happened. 7 days. So I searched her cabin when I knew she was on deck.
What are you doing here, Mr. Cleveland?
Well, I didn't expect you back so soon.
I see that. You've been through my trunks. Just what does this persecution mean?
You know what it means. You killed Tony Costa.
You're obviously quite crazy.
I followed you onto this ship. I'll follow you to the ends of the earth if necessary.
You rotten swine.
Why, Miss McCauley, where's that composure?
I know you've been through a great strain. It's unhinged your mind. But if you don't stop pestering me, I'll report you to the captain.
My wife is going to be hanged for something she didn't do. I know now that you murdered Costa. But I've no proof. But if Frieda dies, then I'll kill you. Wherever you go, I'll find you and I shall kill you.
Get out of here.
We were nearing Gibraltar. Only 2 days left. I'd begun to send her envelopes with notepaper inside, on each written 5 days, 4 days, 3 days. And I haunted her. Everywhere she went on that ship, I was so close behind. And this was the night of the last day but one. I paced my cabin thinking of Frieda pacing her cell.
Message for you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Be on the boat deck tonight at midnight. By lifeboat 26. I can't stand anymore.
Any answer, sir?
No. No answer. There was a mist on the sea. She came to me out of it. There was no one around. We might have been in a gray, shrouded world. She was wearing a white evening dress and a fur cloak with a hood.
Well, Mr. Cleveland?
You did do it, didn't you? And you were wearing the dress you're wearing now.
Yes. I killed Tony. He'd been blackmailing me. That was his racket. Women fell for him. And then they paid.
How did you do it?
When I was just starting out, another actress in a part I wanted died. Tony knew how. He could have ruined my career, killed the only thing I really loved. Yes.
So you killed him instead?
Yes. But now you threaten all that I live for. I must kill you, too. No, stand back against the rail. No one will hear a shot.
You little witch, give me that gun!
Are you ready, Mrs. Cleveland?
Yes. Is my husband here?
Well, I'm afraid not.
He said he would. Isn't there a message?
This way, please.
Is it far?
No. Through here.
Oh.
Go in.
Gilbert.
Frieda. Oh, my darling.
Oh, I knew you'd come.
I phoned from Gibraltar with Inspector Hanlon. You're free, my darling.
Inspector?
We've been keeping tabs on him, Mrs. Cleveland. I've never been one for circumstantial evidence, and your husband's confirmed that opinion. I had 3 of my men in that ship with him. They intervened at the right time.
Ship? I don't understand. Oh, Gilbert, your arm, you're hurt.
He's a lucky man, Mrs. Cleveland. And you're a lucky woman. Well, I'd better go and fix a few new charges. They're going to make quite a few people look silly. Including me.
Had I doubted Frieda's innocence, justice would have miscarried. And there would have been a different ending to the Cleveland case.
In a moment, I'll return with further news of these true life dramas of the courts. But first, your announcer.
The court is adjourned until next week.
Be listening next week, same time, same station, when we present another real-life story in Dramas of the Courts. This feature is a Grace Gibson radio production produced by Reg Johnston.